Begin the current daf, Masechtas Menachas daf Ches. Begin on the bottom of Zayin Mabez, three lines up at the bottom of the Yamad. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is the Gemara was discussing like the topic of our parak of our Masechta regarding the laws of Menachas, specifically if one could do the Kemitza, or those things related to the Kemitza of the Mincha, when the Kli is on the floor. So that Rav had said that one is not allowed to do it when it's on the floor, to put the Kemitza into the Kli when it's on the floor, although other parts you could take the Kemitza from the vessel when it's on the floor, but to put the Kemitza after it's done into the vessel has to be when it's held in the hand of the Kohen. How so? Because we learn it out from the laws of Dam, and just like by a Zevach, the Dam has to go into a vessel that the Kohen is holding, so too by the Kemitza. Now, on that, the Gemara then established that then by default, obviously, Rav has to hold that then one cannot be mekadesh the mincha lechatzayin in halves. Because if you're learning from the halacha of Dam, the halacha of Dam is, as the Gemara had proven, not only is the halacha by paraduma, can one not be mekadesh the paraduma waters with those ashes if it's in halves, but even the same thing applies to the laws of the Dam. Like it says, b'tavl b'dam, just like it says, b'tavl b'mayim, you have to have all the blood there at one time, you cannot be mekadesh in halves. And so the Gemara had brought that Rabbi Elazar says the same halacha, the af b'dam lekidish, that also in blood, the blood that's received from the animal for the Yisrika cannot be received in halves. And that's what the Gemara continues. It says, Omer did Rabbi Elazar really say this idea that just like by paraduma, so too by the blood of a carbon, one cannot sanctify it in the vessel that it's received in halves, yet rather you have to receive it all in one vessel? But we learned as follows. Chavite Kohen Gadol. This is that the Kohen Gadol would bring every single day a tenth of an eifah, which he would sacrifice every day, and he would split it into halves. Now, the reason why it was called a Minchas Chavitin was because it was based on the type of pan that it was baked in, which was called a Machavas, as the Pasuk says, Al Machavas B'Shem et Tasa. So regarding this Chavitin Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yechino Amri says, Ein Kedusha Lechatzayin. It's not sanctified in halves. If let's say he puts half of the Isarin in one vessel, half in another one, it's not sanctified and it's still unconsecrated. Rabbi Lazaim, he says, no, since we know the halacha is that the Kohen Gadol doesn't sacrifice it at once, as most menachas. Rather, he takes, as the Pasuk says, machatzisa ba'boker, machatzisa ba'erev, half of it he sacrificed in the morning, half in the evening. So kiddusha lechatzayin, so therefore could also be sanctified in halves, because just like its sacrificing is done in halves, so too its sanctification. And that continues the Gemara on top of Chesem and Aleph, of Imisa. Now, if it's true that Rabbi Elazar holds that by the blood of a carbon it cannot be sanctified in halves, then Leilif, let him learn the halacha of Mincha, of the Chavitin Midam from blood. Why did you say by Mincha Chavitin that it can be sanctified in halves? Learn that from the halacha of Midam of a carbon that it cannot be sanctified in halves. And says the Gemara. And Mechitam, if you're going to say that, what's the question? Rabbi Elazar Milsa Mimilsa Legamar. He doesn't learn that one context from another context. What do you want? Minchas Chavitin is one svara, which is because it's sacrificed in halves, so it's sanctified in halves. Dam is a different halacha. There it's not sanctified in halves. And he's not going to learn out mincha from dam. And that says the Gemara, but v'omer Rabbi Elazar, but this Rabbi Elazar who we're discussing, he himself says, mincha shekamatza beheichel kshera. A flower offering that its kemitza was done in the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash itself is going to be valid, even though the halacha says that it should be done in the courtyard like other karbanas. Why is it kasher? Shekemetzinu besilik bezichin, because we find in another context, by the removing of the levaina that are in the bezichin, in these spoonfuls, by the lechem apanim, which is, that's in the heichel, that's where the shulchan is. So obviously you see that there is an element of kemitza in the heichel, which is what the levaina is in regards to lechem apanim, which is what the kemitza is in regards to every mincha. So since you could do the silik bezichin in the heichel, which is like the kemitza in the mincha, so you could do the kemitza of another mincha in the heichel too. So you see that it compares the halachic context of the of a mincha to the halachic context of lechem apanim with levaina. So he does compare one milsa to another milsa. So then why doesn't he learn out the halachas of mechas chavitin from the dam? If you say that Rabbi Elazar holds that by dam you cannot be mekadesh lechatzayin, so too by mechas chavitin. Says the Gemara, no. Mincha min mincha yalof. He learns out the halacha of minachas from other menachas, which the lechem apanim is the same thing. It's bread, it's a flour offering, what's eaten by the kanim. And the levaina, which also menachas also have frankincense, is what's burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, yeah, he learns out that from there to say that a mincha that's nikmat sabahichel will be kosher, just like you find by the levaina, by the lechem apanim. But mincha mitam, lo yalof. He's not going to learn the halacha of flour offerings from an animal sacrificed with blood, and therefore, yeah, although by dam it's not niskadish lechatzon, but by minchas chavitin it will be. And that is the Gemara, but mincha mincha mi yalof. Does he really learn out, as this last halacha seemed to indicate, halachas of one mincha from another type of a mincha? But v'tanya, you learn the b'raisa that says, atrolei perka, up until that the order of the 12 showbreads were not removed yet on Shabbos from the Shulchan, if nifris lachma, if one of the breads crumbled, so halachim pasul, all the breads are going to be invalidated because this is what the equivalent of the halacha of a flour offering, which is deficient before the kemitzah is done. The Gemara tells us later on the Testament base, it says in the pasuk min hamincha, from the flour offering, which is the exclusionary terminology, which excludes, if it's lacking some of the flour, it invalidates it. Now, by the lechem apadim itself, the Gemara tells us later on the Yud Beis Mabeis, kodesh kodeshim hi, which is if they have one of the breads break down and lose part of it, they're all going to be invalidated. So if it says the brisa, if the bread crumbled before that they were taken off from the shulchan, the bread is pasul. And ve'im makto lev es bezichin. So you're not going to sacrifice the frankincense on the mizbeach, which is the equivalent of the kemitza of the mincha, the whole mincha is pasul, which is that the breads on the shulchan are not valid. Now, but says the brisa, mishapirka, where as Ben Gershom explains, it means that if, let's say, the kemitza was already separated, meaning the bezichin, the spoons of frankincense, were already taken off of the shulchan, and then nifras lachma, then one of the breads crumbled, so here too the halacha is going to be halechem pasul. The bread's still going to be invalidated, even though it's after the removing of the bezichin, after the breads, they crumbled, it's going to be invalid. Why? Because it's the equivalent of shirayim, because although we already took off the bezichin, which is like the taking off the kemitza, so the rest, which is in this equivalent is the lechem aponim, is the shirayim, it's left of which is eaten by the kahanim, just like by regular mincha, but it's like the shirayim that now became deficient between the kemitza and the sacrificing of that kemitza, which the Gemara tells later on of Tesma Beis, that although in that situation one is going to sacrifice the kemitza, as we're saying here in this halacha, but the shirayim are going to be forbidden to be eaten. So therefore the halacha is the bread's going to be pasul. But like we said, but you could sacrifice the spoons of frankincense, which as we're going to shortly see, that tells us, obviously, which is the question that the Gemara is asking, as we're going to quote Rabbi Elazar over here, that we don't learn out the halacha of a mincha. Because by mincha, actually, the halacha is going to be that the whole thing actually is going to be possible. Now I'm going to sacrifice that kemitza. And here we see clearly, by this halacha of the lechem apanim, that we do sacrifice the bezichin. Now, V'amar Rabbi Elazar says, and this is who we're coming to ask on, he qualifies this b'risa. He says, lay perka mamish. When the b'risa says that we're a little bit more lenient if we already removed it from the shulchan, that's when if the bread crumbles, okay, although the bread's going to be invalidated because there's something missing from the shirayim before the kemitza, which in this case the levaina was burnt on the mizbeach, but you'll be able to sacrifice that bezichin, that frankincense, that levaina. So that's Rabbi Elazar, doesn't mean literally you have to take it off. If it already reached the time when you're able to take it off, which is already 6 hours in the day already passed by, as the Gemara says in Pesachim and Chesem and Aleph, that the Musafin are brought in the sixth hour, and the Bezichin in the seventh hour. So if 6 hours already passed, Ava Bishulei Perka, even if they weren't even removed yet, Kemisha Perka Damia, it's like it was removed already, and therefore you're allowed already to be Makata the Bezichin, you're allowed to burn the spoonfuls of the frankincense, even though parts of the breads are missing, and that the bread's going to be invalidated, but Bezichin could be sacrificed. Now in that has the Gemara, but vamai, but why? To have a kemincha shechaser kaidim kemitza. If you say we compare the laws of menachas one to the other, so then this should be like a flour offering, which is lacking from the mincha before the kemitza. Why? Meaning in the way Rabbi Elazar qualified, he says that even if you didn't remove anything yet, everything's still on the shulchan, as long as the time already reached, that there you're going to be able to burn the frankincense. Why? It should be possible. Because as the Gemara tells us later on, when it says min ha-mincha, from the flour offering, it excludes if it's lacking from the measurement. And here it's lacking from the measurement. And obviously, says the Gemara, that according to Rabbi Elazar, you don't learn out mincha even from another mincha, because if you did, then you should learn out the halachas of lechem aponim from other menachas, which we know the halacha is, that if nothing was taken off yet, if it's before the kemitza, and it's something is lacking here because one of the breads crumbled, then you shouldn't be allowed to burn the frankincense. And that's just the Gemara in the Holocaust. It's not difficult. The truth is, as we established before, Rabbi Elazar learns out the halachas of one mincha from another one. It's just like we said, he's not going to learn the halachas of mincha, like the chavitin, from the halachas of dam. So then if you learn one mincha from the other one, so then why isn't it problematic over here by the lechem aponim like it is by other menachas? And that says the Gemara, because they're fundamentally different. Why? Although they're similar, and therefore you could learn out, let's say, the halacha we mentioned before about doing a kemitza by regular mincha in the heichal, like we find by the bezichin, the silik bezichin, by the on the shulchan, by the lechem aponim. But in this context, they're different because min chalei bar, the Girsa takes out the word bereira, kaimitz didei. By a regular flour offering, it's not verified, it's not clear what is the fistful that's going to be sacrificed on Mizbeach, because it's all mixed together. So therefore, before the actual kamitza is done, you can't say as if it was already separated and done, because it's still lacking a decisive action to separate the kamitza from the rest of the flour, which is the shirayim. But vaha, by the lechem upon him, bar breira kamitz dida. There it's clarified, it's verified what is its kamitza, because the bezichin, which is the equivalent of what the kamitza is in its own spoons, and it's separate. So therefore, v'kivin shegiyas man lafarg, once it came to time already to remove it, even if it wasn't removed, command the parkadam, it's like it's removed, and that's why it's different. And that's why Rabbi Elazar says, you could sacrifice it, even though the kamitza wasn't done, and that's why it's different by regular mincha that the kamitza wasn't done. But the Gemara still asks, so fine. It's not like it's before the kamitza. It's like the bread crumbled after the kamitza, even though it wasn't removed, because it's already the time, and it's already separate anyway, so you could see it as if it's separated. So it's like the kamitza was done. But al me'ata, but still asks the Gemara, even so, tavik shirayim shachasu ben kamitza laktara. It should be like leftovers of the mincha, because they're the leftovers, already like considered separate. And but if they got deficient between the time of the kamitza and the burning of the kamitza on the mizbeach, they ain't maktir in kamitza lay. And this is what we alluded to earlier, that you don't go ahead and you don't burn the kamitza in by regular mincha. So if you're learning out one mincha from another, you should learn a lechem upon from there, even if you like the kamitza was done, but it's still lacking between the kamitza and the aktara. So you should not be able to burn the bezich. And Rabbi Elazar says you do. Says the Gemara, lav plukta ninu? Isn't this a machlokes that the Gemara brings later on in the sugya? That it's actually a machlokes what happens if the mincha is deficient between the kamitza and the aktara? So therefore it's not difficult. Rabbi Elazar Sabla Kamandama, he holds like the opinion that says, Shirayim Shachashu bin Kamitza Laktara, when there's something lacking from the leftovers, which is eaten by the Kahanim, between the Kamitza part, that's when it's separated, and the burning of the Kamitza, then Makter, Kamitza Lein, then in that situation you could burn the Kamitza on them, and therefore Rabbi Elazar is resolved because it's not difficult. He does learn that by Dam it's not Niskadish Lechatzayin, and by Minchas Chavit holds it is Niskadish Lechatzayin, because he doesn't learn a Mincha from Dam. Although we see they learn a milsa and a milsa, that's a mincha from another mincha. And although we seem to say that he doesn't learn a one mincha from another mincha, will be here by the lechem upon him, that's because it's fundamentally different, because it's considered separated, because it actually is separated. And although generally it's a problem, even if it's lacking after it's separated before it's burnt, that's not true. That's a machlekes. Rabbi Elazar like the opinion who holds that it's not a problem, and that's why you could go ahead and burn the bezichin, although one cannot eat the shirayim, as the Brisa sets it. Now, Gufo, going back to this, as we started on from the previous daf, that this machlik is between chavitei kohen gadol, regarding the flour offering that the kohen gadol brings every single day, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, as we had quoted, in the Kiddush Lechatzon, and says it cannot be sanctified in halves, although it's sacrificed in halves, you have to sanctify the whole thing at once. Rabbi Elazar Amar, as we quoted, he says, Metech Shekir Lechatzon, since it could be sacrificed in halves, as it is, Kiddush Lechatzon, so therefore it could be sanctified in halves too. That says the Gemara Bacha, my time in Rabbi Yochanan. What's the reason of Rabbi Yochanan? And seemingly, Rabbi Elazar is correct. It's sacrificed in halves. Why can't you sanctify them in halves? And that says the Gemara, because Amakra, the Pasuk says in Meyikra, and this is in Perek Vav Pasuk Gimel, that the Pasuk there says that this is the carbon of Aaron and the sons, that they should sacrifice to Hashem on the day that they're anointed, which is a tenth of an ephah, which is flour that is, as the Gemara quotes, mincha, flour offering. And then the Pasuk says that's tamid, that's constant, which is, as the Pasuk says, machtzisa, half of it is Baboiker, is in the morning, and half of it is in the evening, which he would bring it in halves. Says the Gemara, what Rabbi Yochanan understands over here, is that hevi mincha, you have to first bring a complete mincha of an isaran of Silas, because no mincha is less than an isaran. And then then you split it in half, because it says machatzisa, half of it, which means, but you're saying first mincha, and then machatzisa. So obviously you first bring the whole mincha, and then you split it in half. Now, moreover, the Gemara says, Meisav, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Elazar in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Chavitei kohen gadol lo hayu bayis chatzayim. The minchas chavitim, the kohen gadol, did not come in halves. Ela mevi isaron shalom v'chatzayim. Rather, you bring an entire isaron, and then you split in half. Seeming like Rabbi Yechon, not like Rabbi Elazar. So, to betanya lo'tna Braisa. Ilu nema mincha machzis, had it said, a mincha half. I would say, maybe chitzara chatz isaron mi beis shachris makiv, that in the morning he brings a half of isaron and he sacrifices it. Chatz isaron mi beis arvis makiv, and then in the evening he brings a half of isaron from his house and he sacrifices it. Tamalayma, like we said for Biyechon, machtzisa ba biker, half of it in the morning, which sounds like Machza Meishalim, half of this whole mincha, who maybe is what he brings, and then he brings the other half in the evening, which sounds like that he's makdash a whole mincha, and then he goes and splits it in half. So these two braises seem to contradict Rabbi Elazar. And that says the Gemara, no. This that we required it that to be a whole entire mincha is la mitzvah. It's just for a mitzvah. But the truth is, if someone would sanctify it in halves, it would be sanctified, and it would not go out and be considered still chulin, because like Rabbi Elazar said, since when sacrificed in halves, it's going to sanctify in halves too. Although the pasuk seems to indicate that it has to be the whole thing, that's just for mitzvah, that's the ideal situation. But after the fact, it's going to be sanctified in halves too. And that has to Gemara, Amli Rav Gaviyah, maybe Kassel Rav Ashi, he says, but Vahachuk Ksivba, the pasuk says over there, Chuk Oilam Lashem, which always sounds like it has to be exactly as it says, which is whole, not just le mitzvah, but even le ikuvah. So Amalei says to me, right, Le Nitzucha, this that the pasuk says about having the holy sarin as once, that was only necessary ela lahaviya shalom mibesoi. Only to bring it from his house, he has to bring it in one entity. But regarding sanctifying it in the service vessel, that if he wants to, he can sanctify it in halves. So yeah, when he brings it, it's going to be the whole thing, the whole mincha. And then machtzisa, but when he splits in half, that's not just regarding the sacrifice, I mean even the sanctifying could also be in halves. Now, the Gemara goes back and asks, did Rabbi Yechon really say, as his opinion, as we mentioned before, that the Minchas Chavitin cannot be in the Skadish Lechatzin, cannot be sanctified in halves? But Vayitma, we learned the following Machloikis. Hifrish Chatzi Isarin, if someone separated a half of Isarin for his Mincha flower offering, V'dait Lohesev, and his intention is to complete it and supplement it to be the full Isarin. As the Gemara says later on, the Kuf Gimel Amad Aleph, that there's no mincha that's less than an Isarin. So whoever says, even I want to bring a half of Isarin, he has to bring an entire Isarin. So let's say someone already designated a half of Isarin. His intention is to complete it to the Isarin that's supposed to be. So Rav Ma'ina Kaddish, Rav says, still, it's not sanctified. It doesn't have the requisite measurement. From Yechon HaMakaddish, he says, it is sanctified. And that is the Gemara of the Imisa. Now, if it's true that Rabbi Yechon holds up by Chavitin, it's not sanctified in halves. Leilif mi chavitin. Then let him learn out regular menachas from chavitin that it's not sanctified in halves. How does he say in this situation when you only put in half of isarin, which is only half, that it's sanctified? Now v'chi teim, and if we're going to say Rabbi Yechon and milsim and milsim layalaf, as we mentioned this svar before when we talked about Rabbi Elazar, that maybe he doesn't learn out one context from another. Maybe chavitin is one thing and the regular mincha is another thing. But V'am Rabbi Yechanan, and that's what we're talking about, Rabbi Yechanan himself says, Shlam Sheshachton Behechel Ksherin. Regarding a Shlam that's slaughtered in the sanctuary, it's going to be valid. Why? Because the Chassid of the Pasuk says, when it talks about a carbon Shlam, it says, Reshchatei Pesach Oil Ma'id. You should slaughter it in the opening, in the entryway of the tent of the assembly, which means the Azara, the courtyard. So what do you see from the Pasuk? That the Azara, the slaughtering of the Shlam, is going to be valid. So therefore, for sure, in the Heichel itself is going to be kasher. Why? Shlo yehei, so that the Azara shouldn't be, which that is tafel, that's only secondary. It's like, it's the Pesach Le'el Ma'ed. It's secondary to the sanctuary. That it shouldn't be more chamim mikar, it shouldn't be more severe than the primary thing that it's secondary to. So therefore, for sure, the Heichel is going to be kasher. But one thing we see, is Rabbi Yechon learns out the halachas of the Heichel from the Azara. Milsa mi milsa. That's the Azara, this is the Heichel. Obviously, you can learn out one thing from the other. So if he does, so then why doesn't he learn out the relationship between Chavitin and regular Menachas? If you're saying Chavitin, it's not Neskadosh L'chatzan, he should learn the Menachas from there, that it's also not Neskadosh L'chatzan. How does he say that the half of the Isarin is going to be sanctified? Says the Gemara, it's not difficult. You're right, he learns out Milsa Mimilsa. But Dait Elohisav Shani, when he already put in half of the Isarin, the reason why he says it's going to be sanctified, you're right, usually it's not, like by the Chavitin. But when his intention is to add it on, then that's different, and then it's going to be sanctified already now. As we find the Tanakh, we learn the Braisa. The Pasuk of Bamidbar says, Meleim. This is told by the Nesim when they brought their Karbanis by the inauguration of the Mishkan. So it says, Shnei Meleim Silas, that both of the bowls were filled with flour. Says the Braisa, Ein Meleim. The word Meleim doesn't mean literally as filled up these bowls full with flour. El Shleimim, it just means that the entire measurement of the Isarin that has to be sanctified inside was complete. That's what it means that it was filled up. As the parenthesis says, which the Gersois usually take these out, Kalemah, so to speak, She'in the Kaddish Ache Isarin Shalom. It's not going to be sanctified until it's the full Isarin. But it doesn't mean filled up, it means complete. However, Amr Rabbi Yasi said, no, he says, Emasai. When did we say this? That it's only going to be considered sanctified when the whole measurement is there? That's bizman she indite lahesif. That's if he doesn't have intention to add anything more. If you don't have intention to add anything more, then it's not sanctified. But if let's say his intention is to add on, so even there where he didn't put in the whole entire measurement yet, Rishon Kadosh, the first one as they're coming, each drop is going to be sanctified. So that's exactly like we said by Rabbi Yochanan, that since it's Daita L'Haisef, that's different, there will be sanctified even though it doesn't have the whole measurement. But now the Gemara adds, but V'Rav, that he said that when someone separates a half of Isaron, he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, and he says that even if it's Daita L'Haisef, it's not going to be sanctified. So, b'chavitin, in the laws of chavitin, that machlik is between him and Rabbi Yechon, is regarding a regular mincha when it's daita l'haisef. And he says, it's not going to be sanctified. So, in the laws of the chavitin, which we brought a machlik is before, regarding the minchas by the chavitin kohen gadol, come on severely. In that machlik is, who does he hold like? As the Gemara explains. Because Iker Rabbi Lazar, if you would say that he holds like Rabbi Lazar, so, and Rabbi Lazar says that it's niskadish l'chatzayin, so leilef mechavitin, but then why doesn't he learn out the halachas of regular menachas? If no laws chavitin that it's sanctified in halves, so too he should say by regular menachas and v'shor when it's daita l'haisev, then v'shor should be neskadish l'chatzayin. And v'chitim, if you're going to say no, maybe Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar, but Rav milsim and milsim loyal. If he doesn't learn out one context from another context, so therefore other menachas, he's not going to say it should be like chavitin, because by chavitin there the logic makes sense, like Rabbi Elazar said that it should be sanctified in halves because it's sacrificed in halves. But regular menachas, he's not going to say that because you don't learn out one thing from the other thing, and that says the Gemara, it's not true. We find that Rav does learn out milsim and milsim, because Vama Rav said mincha kedusha b'lei shemen, a flour offering could be sanctified even without the oil that's supposed to be inside of it. If let's say someone puts in the isaron of seilis in a service vessel, even though the oil is not there yet, it's going to be sec, it's going to be sanctified, and it's not going to be able to be removed to be chulin anymore. Now, of course, you still have to then bring the oil and then sacrifice it. Now, why is that? It's not totally complete yet. Is because she came mitzinu b'lechem apanim. Because we find by the lechem apanim, which is a flour offering that doesn't have oil in it. Now, but the lechem apanim does have frankincense, like we said in the bezichin and the spoons. But again, if it's missing its shemen, as we see, Rav is learning on milsim imilsim, he's learning the halachas of a regular mincha, which requires shemen, from the halachas of lechem apanim, which doesn't require shemen, and therefore he's actually going to say it's even going to be sanctified by regular mincha, even without the oil. So too, he says, let's say one puts in the mincha in the vessel, below levayna, without the frankincense that's necessary by it. It's still going to be sanctified. Shekei metzina b'minchas nesachim, because we find by the mincha of the libations, which are menachas that come with every carbon, like it says by the carbon tamid, in b'midbach chavches, asir se'efa se'ilis mincha b'lul b'shemen, now there's no levayna. And so therefore it gets sanctified without levayna, because obviously that's its mincha. So therefore, even by a regular mincha, which requires levayna, will also be sanctified even without the levayna. Continues Rav, b'lay shemen u'b'lay levayna. Let's say someone put in the mincha into his bowl without oil and without the frankincense that they need. It's still going to be sanctified. Shekem etzina b'minchas chayte, because we find by the sinner's flour offering that he doesn't have levayna, doesn't have shemen, and therefore obviously it's sanctified just with the flour. So even by regular mincha, which requires those other elements, it's also going to be sanctified just with the flour. But one thing is, we see clearly that he's learning out milsim and milsa. So we're back to the question. If he holds like Rabbi Elazar, who holds that by chavitika and godli, it's niskadish lechatzayin, so why don't you say the same thing by regular mincha? Why does he disagree with Rabbi Yechon, and he says that even if it's daita l'haisav, it's not going to be niskadish when you put in a half of yisar? So it's like, well, you're right. Al karchach, obviously you have to say that Rav Rabbi Yechon's relay, that obviously holds like Rabbi Yechon, that by chavitin, that it's not niskadish lechatzayin, and therefore, yeah, he learns out other menachas from chavitin, which is not niskadish lechatzayin, and he holds that even daita l'haisav, it's like the Tanna Kama that disagrees with Rabbi Yisi from the Braisa. That's not going to be niskadish lechatzayin. Now, Gufa, the Gemara goes back to complete that statement of Rav that we just quoted to prove that he holds milsim and milsa. Amar Rav, Rav said, mincha kedusha b'lei shemen. A flour offering could be sanctified in the vessel even without the oil that it needs, which, as the parentheses adds on, ve'ein din kisaron chasa. It's not considered like a lacking isaron, which would not be sanctified in that deficient state. Because as we find by the lechem apanim, which it doesn't have oil, and therefore obviously it's sanctified without it, so too by regular mincha, even if it needs it, it's going to be sanctified without that. Because again, you learn out milsim and milsim. But let's say the flower offering doesn't have the frankincense, it's still going to be sanctified, which doesn't have levayna, and it's sanctified like that. But let's say it doesn't have its oil or its frankincense, it's also going to be sanctified. Shekin metzin b'mechas chayte, as we find by the sinner's mincha, which doesn't have either one of those, and it's sanctified, so too here. Veshem l'vayna, says Rav, and this is where it continues, regarding the oil and the frankincense, kachi hai baloi hai, and that is, the oil is going to be sanctified without the flour and without the frankincense, and vahai baloi hai, and the levain is going to be sanctified without the oil and without the flour. How so? Because shemen, by oil, we find that even just oil itself is sanctified in the vessel. As we find that the mitzvah has to bring a loig, which is the measurement of oil, by itself, and it gets sanctified in the vessel. So too, we have a precedence for that. So also over here, by the mincha, just its shemen itself will be sanctified in the vessel. Levaina, if it's just the frankincense, as we find by the levaina that comes in the spoons, which the spoons sanctify just the frankincense without any oil or flour inside of it. Now, although one's going to ask, what do you mean? The levaina comes together with the lechem apanim, which is the flour. That's not a question, because the flour, the lechem apanim, does not become sanctified with the levaina in the spoons. And therefore, we find that there's a kli sharis, the spoons, that sanctify only levaina that's inside of it, without the oil and the flour. And therefore, that we're going to tell that even regarding a regular mincha, when only its levaina was put into the vessel, it's going to be sanctified. Now, this was all the opinion of Rav. But Rav Chanina Amar, he says, and he disagrees with Rav as we continue to Amud Beis, he says, no, loizu kadesha blaizu, v'loizu kadesha blaizu. Neither one could be without the other elements. By all the menachas, which require shemen and levaina, the kli sharis is not going to sanctify any one of them unless you have all three together, that you have the flour, the oil, and the frankincense. Now, that the Gemara asks, Rabbi Chanina, if that's the case, then isarin, this that there was in the Beis HaMikdash, a measurement of isarin, which was necessary for the menachas, as the Gemara says later on, Perek Shtei Midas and Pezayin and Aleph, lama nimshach. Why was that vessel, that service vessel, sanctified with the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, to sanctify it, that whatever is put inside of it is going to become sanctified? But according to Chanina, what's put into the Isarin does not become sanctified. Because the only thing that the Isarin holds is only the Isarin of Silas. And one does not put the oil and the Levain inside of that. As the parentheses adds on, it's only made for the measuring of the flour itself. And you're saying that the flour doesn't become sanctified without the oil. So what's the utility of sanctifying that Isarin if it's not going to have any purpose in sanctifying what goes inside of it? That says the Gemara, no, lemeches chayte. It was necessary to anoint the Isarin so that when the sinner's flour offering is put into that, which that is just purely flour, that's going to sanctify that meches chayte. And the Gemara says, okay, but v'leig lo menimshach. Why is the leg, which is the measurement of where the oil is put into, that which is measuring the amount of oil that's necessary for a carbon, for an avaida, why was that anointed if anyways oil itself does not become sanctified and needs all the other two elements with it? So it's the Gemara, the leg shel mitzayah. But the leg of the mitzayah, where it was just oil, that was going to be sanctified in that leg. Now the Gemara says, however, v'av shmul sav lahad derav, that Shmuel also, not like Reb Chanina, also holds like Rav, that a klisharis will sanctify even just the flour itself, even though it's not fit to sacrifice it without the oil, still it's going to be sanctified just the flour itself. That's not because, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Zevachim, Perek HaMizbech Mekadosh, that says the following halacha. Klei halach, mekadosh nesalach. The vessels that are used for liquids sanctify liquids that are put inside of it. Umidas hayavish, and the measurements of solids, which there were two of them in the Beis HaMikdash, one was a Isarin and one was a half of Isarin, as the Gemara says later on, Pezayin Menalf and Perek Shtei Midas, Mekachin HaSayavish, they sanctify the solids that are put inside of them. But, Vein Kli Halach Mekachin HaSayavish, the vessels that are used for liquids do not sanctify the solids that are put inside of it. Vein Midas HaSayavish Mekachin HaSayavish, and neither the measurements that are used for solids, they will not sanctify liquids that are put inside of them. Now, that's what the Mishnah says. But V'amar Shmuel said, Lo Yishonu, we didn't learn this halacha, that the vessels that are used for liquids will not sanctify the solids that are put inside of them. Elamidois, that's only talking about the measuring type of vessels. There are certain vessels for liquids that we use to measure, a hin, a half hin, and so on, as the Gemara says over there in Perek Shtei Midas, Pezayin Men Aleph. Now, the reason for that is because measurements, those types of utensils are only utilized for measuring. So therefore, it's not going to sanctify because the liquid type of vessels of measurements were not appropriate for solids because in the liquid measurements, it doesn't have Isarin and half Isarin that we need for the solids. So that's where it's not going to sanctify the other type. Alva Mizrakis, but regarding the bowls, which are vessels that are used for liquids, like for example, dam or other things, and that's Ishmul Mikachas Esayavish. That they're actually, it will sanctify even the dry solids that are put inside of it. Because that's not related to the utility of measuring. Measuring, they're different, so therefore you can't have one and the other type. But just bowls that, even though they're generally used for liquids, if you put a solid in, it will sanctify it. Like it says in the pasuk we brought earlier, Shnehem Maleim Seilis by the Nesiim, both them, the Mizrakis and the Ka'aris, which are these two different types of vessels that were brought by the Nesiim, they were both filled, Maleim Seilis, filled with flour. Balula b'shem and lamincha mixed with oil for a flour offering, which Rashi says that this is the minchas nesachim, that they was the libations that of the menachis, which required shemen inside of them. But one thing is that we see that the mizrak, which was the vessel that's generally used for liquids, and the ka'aras, which are generally used for salads, were both sanctifying soilus, a flour offering, which therefore, says Shmuel, that proves the point that although we're saying that a kli lach cannot be mekadesh as a yavish, here you see clearly that, yeah, that's only because we're talking about the measuring things, but a regular kli lach that's not regarding measuring, like in this case where one of these shnehem were a mizrak, which is used for liquids, still, you see we're sanctifying a midas yavish, that of a flour offering. But one thing says the Gemara, you see Shmuel holds like Rav. You see that Shmuel holds that a kli sharis can be mekadesh just the silas, which is what we're talking about, the flour offering, even though it doesn't have the oil inside of it, which the Gemara is going to shortly ask on that point. What do you mean? It's talking about that there is oil. But that's what the Gemara is assuming right now. From this halacha of Shmuel, you see that he holds a grav, that the kli sharis with mekadesh, even though it's just seilis without the shemen. And that Rashi points out, seemingly that Reb Chanina, who disagrees with them, is difficult from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, midas yavish is mekadesh yavish. So even though it's not, let's say, that lach can be mekadesh yavish, but the midas yavish, it says mekadesh yavish. Yavish means dry, solid. That means to say it's just a flour without oil. How is that possible? He says it's never sanctified without all the ingredients. So on that, he would say that that's tumah by the isarin of the mechas chayte. Well, yeah, that's total solid, and that's going to be sanctified in the vessel. Now, however, as we mentioned, the Gemara asks, Amali Rav Acham adiftul Ravina, mincha lechehi. What do you mean? This is not a solid flour offering. This is a mincha that's moist, that's mixed with oil. So from this pasuk, you cannot prove that a mizrak, which is a vessel that's used for liquids, can be mekadesh yavish, which are dry solids. It's not a dry solid. It's a flour offering that's mixed with oil. So therefore, since it's moist, that's why it could be sanctified. Well, how are you proving from here? Ask the Gemara and Shmuel that the Mishnah was only talking about midas, but regarding other vessels like mizrakis, or mekadesh yavish, it's not yavish. And that Amalei, Ravina responded back. He says, no. It is a proof because le nitzrucha el liyavishabo. It's only necessary regarding the dry parts of the mincha. Meaning, even a mincha balula, a flour offering that's mixed with oil, it's not possible that you're not going to have some granules of flour that are still dry that none of the oil got to. And even so, we see that the mizrak, which is used for liquids, was going to sanctify it, and that's the proof. So just like that dry part is sanctified, so the logic would tell us that even a totally dry flour offering, meaning that doesn't have the oil yet, is still going to be sanctified in a vessel that's used for liquids. So you see that a mizrak, a utensil for lach, could sanctify even a dry solid as long as it's not a measuring utensil. And the Gersa takes out the next five lines. So that's one resolution. V'ibayisim, if you want to say a different answer is, minchel, so either one is like we said that, what I mean, it's not liquid, it's not solid, it's liquid, so we said, no, the solid's in that, or v'ibayisim, if you want, you could say, minchel gabi dam, again, we're talking about a mizrak, a vessel that's generally used for like blood, and we're saying that you're sanctifying the menachis inside of them, so even if you want to say that the mincha is moist, because there's oil inside of it, but in comparison to the blood that the vessel is usually used for, kiyavish dummy, it's like a solid, because blood is liquidy. The flour offering is like a dough. And even so, we're saying that the mizrak, which is the utensil used for blood, is going to sanctify the flour offering, and therefore, it would make sense to say that even when it's totally dry, it's also going to be sanctified. So again, either it's the dry parts of it, or even though it's liquidy, but it's still a doughy substance, it's still solid compared to blood, and still we see that mizrak is going to sanctify, and therefore that's the proof of Shmuel, that even a kli lach, as long as it's not that of measuring, could be mekadesh as a yavish. And again, we brought that in because from there you see that Shmuel holds like Rav, and not like Reb Chanina. Where again, that the soilus that is dry could be sanctified even by itself, even without the oil. Now, Gufa, the Gemara goes back to quote that we had mentioned, Amen Al, Vamar Bulaza, he says, Mincha Shekamatza Behechel Ksheira. Flour offering that the Kemitza was done in the sanctuary itself is going to be kosher. And he said, Shekamatzina Basilik Bezichin, because like we find, and we brought this in to show that he learns out Milsa Me Milsa, that he learns out the halacha of the Hegel from the Azara. That is because you find by the silk, and you learn out Miches Chavitin, that you learn out the halacha of one mincha from the Lechem Apanim, you learn out one thing from another context, that by this taking off the spoons of frankincense, you could do that in the Hegel with the Shulchan Es, so you could do the Kemitzah of a regular mincha also over there. However, on this teaching, Master Rabbi Yirmi has from the following Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, V'kametz Misham, that the Kayan does the Kemitzah from there. What's from there? It's Mimakim Sharagal Azar Amdis, because the beginning of the Pasuk says that the person brings his Mincha, and he comes, he brings it to the Kayan, and then the Kayan does the Kemitzah from there. So it sounds like from there, where the legs of the non-Kayan, who's the owner, who's bringing it, where he's standing. I mean, the 11 Amas, when one enters into the Azar, in the eastern part, which is where a Jew could stand, that's where you do the Kemitzah from. One thing is that you see, is that it has to be in the Azara, has to be in the courtyard. And that's where the Gemara's question is going to be, how can you say that you can do it in the Heichel? Now, Ben Masei Reimer, which Rashi points out, this is just because it's the conclusion of the Braisa, it's not necessary for what the Gemara is asking from, he gives a different interpretation into those words of the Pasuk. He says, Minayin Shim Kametz B'Smol, from where do we know that if someone does a Kemitzah inappropriately with his left hand, Sheyavs of Yaakometz B'Yamin, that he should put it back and do it over with his right hand? Tamalim of Kametz Misham, he should take the Kemitzah from there. What's from there? Mimakim should come kvar from the place where the Kemitzah was already done once before, meaning inappropriately, and then put back, you could do it over again. But one thing is that you see, it has to be in the Azar where a Azar could stand, and not in the Heichel, which contradicts Rabbi Elazar. And that Ikadami, that those who say, Hu Maisav Lav, Hu Mefarkla, Rabbi Yirmiyah, who had asked the question, he himself gave the answer we're about to say. Ikadami, that those who said that, Amali Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Rabbi Yaakov said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, he says, Bar Tachlifa, the son of Tachlifa, Azbalach, I'll explain to you. Loi nitzrcha, we didn't need this that the Pasuk says that the Brice is expounding the words of Bukamitz Misham. Ela lahachshir es kol azara kula, only to validate the entire courtyard to do the Kemitzah, not to make an inference, oh, that it has to be the courtyard and not the Heichel. No, it's coming to say for that halacha itself. Shaloi tem, that you shouldn't say, Hail va'ayla kacha kachim, since the karban ayla is considered the higher level karbanas. U'mincha kacha kachim, and so is the flower offering, because by both ayla and mincha, they both say kacha kachim. And therefore, you would think to say, Ma ayla tu in itzaf, and just like the karban ayla has to be done, it's equivalent of Kemitzah, which is slaughtering, has to be done in the north, like the Pasuk says in Meyikra, V'shachat Oysel Yerachem Ezbech Tzafainam. So Av Mincha Tu Netzafen. So therefore I would have thought to say that flour also has to be done in Tzafen. Therefore the Pasuk says, V'kametz Misham, that even in the Azar, where the Azar stands, it could be done, but not at the exclusion of the Heichel. Of course in the Heichel it could also be done, but it's just saying even the entirety of the Azar, and it doesn't have to be in the northern part of the Azar. And that is the Gemara. Why would you think to learn it from Oyla? Ma'ala Oyla Shekin Kol. Yeah, oil is more severe, and that's why he needs the north, because all of it is burnt to the Hashem on the Mizbech, like the Pasuk says, V'archu b'nei Aaron es nesachim, all of it is burnt on the Mizbech. What are you going to compare it to a mincha, where only the fistful is burnt on the Mizbech? So you're right, no, we would have thought to learn the mechatas. We would have said that just like the karmachatas has to be slaughtered in the north, so too the flower offering needs to be done in the north, and that's why we need v'kametz to say that, no, the entire Zara is going to be kasher. That is the Gemara. Malachatas shekem mekaperes achi bekrisis. What do you mean? How can you learn from chatas? That's severe and needs suffin because it atones for those who go ahead and by mistake violate punishments which, if they would be done deliberately, would get karis. And that's what a chatas comes for. Maybe that's why it needs suffin in contrast to the mincha. So it's the Gemara nami ashram. We would have learned it from the karban ashram, which doesn't come to atone for chi bekrisis. It's just for like someone who swears falsely, or when he misappropriates from hektish, or when he it has relations with the Shivcha Charufa, and it needs tzafen. I could, like it says in the Pasuk, Asher Yishchedu Asa Oyli Yishchedu Asa Asham, where the Oyli is slaughtered, which is in the north, that's where you have to slaughter the Asham. So too, I would have thought the same thing applies to the Mincha. And that says the Gemara, no, Ma'al Asham Shekim in Adamim. Well, how can you compare it to the Karban Asham, which is more severe in its atonement, because its atonement is with the blood of the Karban, which the primary atonement that's mentioned in the Torah is with the blood, like the Pasuk says, Ka'adam hu ba'nefesh yichaper. It's the blood in the soul that atones for the person, and therefore you can't compare it to a flower offering, which is not even the type of blood. Maybe it's not going to require the north. Why would you need a Pasuk to permit it not to be done in the north? And more of a mekulinami, that also tells us from old karbanas you can't learn out, shekem in the dam, they're all types of bloods. And maybe therefore they would need to have to be done in tzaf, in contrast to mincha. So why do you need v'kametz misham to permit the azara? El rather says the Gemara, itzrich, it was necessary to say v'kametz, because solka da'adach, I mean, you would have thought to say, since the pasuk says in v'yikra, v'ekriva el ha-kayin, that he has to bring the mincha near to the kayin, v'gisha el mizbech v'kametz, and says that the kayin brings it to the altar, and then it says about doing the Kemitzah. Now, so therefore you would have thought to say, it says the Hagasha and then the Kemitzah. So Ma Hagasha, just like that when they have to bring the entirety of the Mincha before the Kemitzah is done, they have to bring their vessel with the flour to the corner, Bekeren Dremes Maravis, in the southwestern corner of the Mizbech, as the Gemara says in the third parak later on the New Testament Beis. So, Avkamitza, so too, the next word that it says there in the Pasuk, we're going to take in the fistful, Nami Bekeren Dremes Maravis. I would also think it has to be, not like we were saying up until now, the northern part of the Zohar, but rather that it has to be in the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, Kamash Malan. That's what the Pasuk is teaching, what the Brayis is telling us, but it becomes Misham, that if he wants to, he could go ahead and then after doing the Agasha, the Kohen could take the Mincha to wherever he wants to be in the Azara, even where the owner could be standing, and go ahead and do the Kamitza over there. That's what we're learning out from the Pasuk. Now, Gufa, Gemara goes back to another statement that we mentioned earlier, that Amar Yechanan, he had said, and this was also related to the idea about where we learn out one thing from another context, as we said, Milsam and Milsam, that Shlam Sheshachtim Behechel Ksherin. Rabbi Yechanan said that a Shlam that's slaughtered in the Hechel is kosher. Shnemelik says in the Pasuk, Veshchate Pesach El Mayid, that the slaughtering is done in the entryway of the tent of the assembly. So if it's kosher in the Azara, V'loyhei Tavol Chamim Ne'ekar, the secondary should not be more severe than the primary if you call the Azara as the entryway of the El Mayid. Obviously, it's secondary to that. So if you can do it in the Azara, which is the Pesach El Mayid, for sure you can do it in the El Mayid itself, in the Hechel, and therefore it's going to be kosher to do the Shchit over there. Which again, like we said, that so you see from there, they learn out one context from another context. Now, on that meisr, on this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara asks him the following braiser. He says, from where do we know that if the idol worshippers surround the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash in siege, in war, and the Kohen cannot eat their karbanos in the courtyard because they're under fire, how do we know that Shakan nechnosin lehechel, that the Kohen could enter into the sanctuary, and they could eat their karbanos, the karbanos that have to be eaten in the Zara, that mean they cannot be taken out of the Zara, that they could be taken into the hechel and eat the kachakachim, the leftover of the menachas, and we don't say that it became invalidated, the kachim, by leaving the perimeter where it's allowed to be, we're left out Zara going into the hechel. Says Rabbi Yudim Seir, because Tam Alayba, like the Pasuk teaches us, we continue on the top of Testament Aleph, but Kodesh HaKadoshim Teichlenu. In Parashas Kairach, it says, in the holiest of the holiest, they should be eaten. Now, earlier the Pasuk said that this is L'chol Chatasim L'chol Chol HaShamim, but Kodesh HaKadoshim, which that sounds like is talking about when it says, but Kodesh HaKadoshim Teichlenu, is the Heichel. Why? Because if one would think it's referring to the Azara, the Pasuk already explicitly said in Sefer Vayikra, B'chatzar El Mayid Yechlu, that they eat in the courtyard of El Mayid. And if it was true that it was talking about Dazar, that we wouldn't need this pasuk. So obviously this pasuk, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is referring to the Heichel. That's Rabbi Yudim Seir's teaching. The other Gemara's question is, if it's true, like Rabbi Yechanan's logic, that we have this Svara of Lehi Tavacham Meikarai, so V'ha'alam Likra, why does Rabbi Seir need this pasuk to tell you that you could eat the Kachi Kachim and the Heichel? He should learn that from the other pasuk. Let him just have the pasuk in the Yikra that says that he eats it in the courtyard of the El Ma'id, and then then we'll say that the secondary should not be more severe than the primary, and for sure you could go ahead and eat it in the Heichel itself. So then why does the Torah have to tell you B'Kodesh HaKadoshim to permit the eating to be done in the Heichel? And that says the Gemara, no, the reason why you have to say B'Kodesh HaKadoshim to permit it to be eaten in the Heichel is not to tell you because that it should not become invalidated by bringing the Kachim into the Heichel. No, that's like we see that for sure it's not going to be any worse than the Azara. It's just to permit to eat it in the Heichel. Because that we would not know through this logic of Lehi Tavacham Menekar, as the Gemara says. Regarding Avayd, like Rabbi Yechanan's Halacha, regarding doing the service of the slaughtering, yeah, the Adam Oivid B'Makam Rabbi, a person does the service in the place of where his master is. It's appropriate to work and serve in front of the master, which is the equivalent of what the Heichel is. So there, I mean, we're going to say, like Rabbi Yechanan said, Shleit Tavu Cham Menikar, that the secondary should not be more severe than the primary. But Achila, regarding what Rabbi Yehuda Meseir is talking about, regarding eating a carbon, Shein Adam Oichav B'Makom Rabbi, it's not appropriate for a person to eat in front of his master. That's why, time of the Kasav Kra, it's only because he brought a pasuk that you could eat in the Heichel. Halei Kasav Kra, had we not had a pasuk, Leit Tavu Cham Menikar, I mean, we would not have said this logic, because there you don't say, oh, that's the primary, for sure you could eat inside of it, had we not had the pasuk, it's not really appropriate. So therefore, with the pasuk, that's what you could eat inside, but that doesn't contradict Rabbi Yechanan's logic that, of course, regarding something that, let's say, avoda that you do in front of the master, for sure, if you could do it in the Azara, for sure you could do it, as we say, Pesach HaMaid, it could be done in the Heichel itself, and it's only by eating, which that's why you read him say, I have to bring a pasuk, because that's not really so appropriate, but the pasuk says that one could go ahead and eat the karbanas in the Heichel itself.